Record.
Yay!
Hello.
Yay!
So welcome and hello. And I mean, Monica and me, you guys know, but like Mel and Todger, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hold on, let me think about who I am. I'm Mel
Yeah.
Jolly. We know that we started the conference with a kickoff speech that included me fully forgetting that people might not know who I am. So, I am Mel Jolly. I am a conference director. I started out as an author assistant, so I have been working with authors and in publishing for like 15 years. I'm always very bad, fuzzy with the math. It's 2009, so actually, that's correct. Todger should
Yay.
probably do my bio for me.
That's when I started in publishing, indie publishing, 2000, well, and trad pub publishing, I guess,
Yeah,
2009.
it was like the perfect time. It was the perfect time to get rolling. I picked up some author clients. It didn't take me long to leave my full-time job and start working for myself, which was amazing. And I gravitated more and more and more to like bigger projects where I could like see multiple pieces come together and come to fruition. So I became more of a project manager for authors and less of an assistant that they delegated to, and more of the person that they came to and they said, you know, what are we working on next? I'm like, well, according to your goals, which I've broken down into this helpful spreadsheet, where we should be is, you know, and I was able to embrace my super nerdiness. And so Todger and I have been working together for quite some time, and we really enjoy bringing conferences, you know, from idea into reality and getting to travel to cool places and hang out with fun people. And yeah, that's me. I probably forgot important things, but there you go.
She is one of the conference directors for Writer MBA, too. So, the conference that we all ran together in February and that we
Yes,
are
I
running together
glossed
again
over that.
next March.
There we go. There we go. Well, that's true. That's true. I'll start out by saying I'm one of the conference directors for Writer MBA and the Future of Publishing
We'll
Mastermind.
just let you start from now on, okay?
No, I like it when you start because then I think, oh yeah, I know I want to say this now. I've been in publishing since about 2008, and before that I was a party thrower, not professionally, but I had to do it kind of as a wife and daughter and mother and so forth. So I really loved throwing parties. And in 2013, 12, 13, around there, I took over with a partner a reader-facing conference. And it turned out that it was like throwing the biggest party ever, and it was so much fun. So I have done several reader-facing conferences. And then I was asked to be a programming assistant programming chair for NINC 1 year. And I thought, oh, that'll be fun. And here we are. Now, so I started out there. That's where Mel and I met. And we realized that we had complementary skill sets. And so we like to do this. We like to throw a party. We like to make the people who come to the party feel good about being there, and we like to spoil them and make them feel like it's the best time ever and they don't want to leave.
We want
everybody who comes to any of our events to be like Russell, just walking around going, I can't believe it's so good. I can't believe Russell just kept walking around going, I just can't believe. And it's like,
What a forced
what do
and
you think you
aquatic thing
hired
to
us
say.
for?
Yes. We love it. We do. We realize this. We realize that we have a grassland, a tundra, a forest, and an aquatic on our conference team. And we also realized that we had, I would say, like, certainly three extroverts. Mel, I think you're maybe in the middle, but we definitely had a bunch of extroverts. And I mean, this is not a negative at all, but the introverts were like, hey, we should have like slightly longer breaks. And so we were like, oh, that's because you're an introvert and we're all extroverts. And We didn't think of
And they were also
that.
like, can we, you tell us where to go after the thing? And we're like, you just go to the bar. And they're like, that's not a thing. We don't just go to bars. And I was like,
Yeah, well, Russell and I do.
and I was
Yeah, just
like,
go to
well, I invite you to
the
the bar. I guess I'll be at the bar. And then people were like,
bar.
cool, now we have a reason to go to the bar. So my number one big takeaway was like, you have to tell people where to go to give them permission to go to that place, even if you think everyone will just go there.
Well,
This is true.
the cool thing is that I think in 2025 and beyond, people who you invited to the bar this year will say, "Hey, I know there's a bar," and they'll tell the new people, and they'll say, "Hey, do you want to go to the bar?" And that's how it works, because it's like a, you know, That it's
makes
a
sense.
string. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was
Yeah.
there. Like the tiki, yeah, Nink, there's the tiki bar, and like everybody knows, hey, if you want to keep talking and partying, like you just go to the tiki bar. You don't need to
Yes.
you don't need to have a plan to meet anyone, you just go.
Yeah.
Yep. And
Yeah.
happily, our location has a lot. You can not only go down to the bar and the hotel, but there's three or four within
Yeah.
what, maybe 150 steps from the door of the hotel. I
Well, there's
highly
a,
recommend them
and
all. there's also the upstairs bar,
yes, there
which
is.
is kind of
Oh,
a fancier, like
it is a
I feel
fancy.
like I should be going to the opera afterwards, but like
I like that
I
that one doesn't
must really
open till
dice.
5 because like classy drinking starts at
Yes.
5.
Yes.
And
That's going to be my new quotation at 5 o'clock. Time for Oh,
classy drinking.
so we I kind of wanted we wanted to have you here just because like not only we want to talk about the future of publishing, but like I think
Writer
I'm
MBA con,
and writer
right?
MBA, but like I think that a lot of people are I've started to see a we've started to see a lot more like events that like writers are throwing for themselves and like conferences like HopperCon and I know Tanya Capps has a con and like most people seem like at some point in their career they're like I'm not going to cons anymore really like y'all come to me. And so we figured that like some of you might have questions about conventions. We can talk about Writer MBA for like 2 hours at least. But you want to make sure to answer all of your questions, I put two links at the top of the chat. One is for the Author Ecosystems book that we released this week. It's like 50,000 words almost of like all the author ecosystem research that we put out. It's totally free at writermba.com/AEbook. And then for the virtual conference, you can go to writermba.com/virtual and get a ticket for free. It's not the same experience as being live, but like a lot of the content will be from similar humans. And I put together a very good virtual conference. Monica and I have run a conference together. I've run conferences with Nick Nelson, who is one of our attendees this year. I've won virtual conferences with my friend Neo. So like I'm an old ham at doing virtual conferences. So I have a theoretical vision for how this will go. But like between the four of us, we could answer all sorts of questions. So, but Monica, you said you had questions. I didn't really prepare. I'm sorry. Like I just figured it would all work out.
Okay, so I mean, I think that, well, basically, unless others have questions about planning, I thought that we could talk about really our experience. So I, because I do want it to be useful, but I also really just want to talk about our conference and how fun it was, and then like our mastermind, how fun it was, and then like how fun our Mastermind Plus conference is going to be next. But you know, so let's try to be helpful to people. So we actually met Mel and Tadra. I met you first through Nink, as one of the guest speakers there, and then we had kind of talked about, like, you were like, oh, I didn't know you work with Russell, like next time, like, both of you should come to Nink and be guest speakers. And I was like, you know what, we actually want to start being vendors and sponsors at conferences. And so the reason we wanted to do that is because we realized that we realized that a lot of speaker opportunities were really like authors telling other authors what had worked for them. And we just felt like as we put together Writer MBA, we were like, we're really like more of a training company. So we want to approach conferences and be at conferences in integrity, and like more like leading with what we actually do rather than like, yes, Russell and I are both authors and we both have like 50 plus books and we're both USA Today bestsellers, but we're not really talking just about what we've done. We're actually like creating courses and content and like trying to help other people where they're at as opposed to like just sharing what we had done. So we started coming as vendors. So Ninc, last year we were a vendor sponsor. I don't quite know what your terminology is.
Sponsor, sponsor. You
Yes. And
sponsored the
then like,
pretzels. Yeah,
yeah.
you sponsored the snack break and the most
Yeah.
popular snack break of them all.
And we hope to have dibs on that for this year too. The yummy snack break. But yeah, so we started sponsoring. We have both spoken at conferences for years and years, and doing it kind of as volunteers for the most part, like just when we were asked by the conference person. And in exchange, we were able to promote our stuff. And for the most part, we never got paid for it or anything like that. Ninc has like their comp or whatever, but so then we started coming as vendors, and we were able to see this totally different side of conferences. And we started becoming vendors at a number of different conferences, still speaking at them usually as part of that package, but really leading with like, hey, we're actually a training company. So we were able to see like all these different sides of events. We were able to see them as attendees. We were able to see it as speakers. We were able to see it as volunteers. We were able to see it as sponsors. And we then were like, hey, we want to. We were in wide indirect sales at the time and still are. And we also noticed that, hey, like we're often wide indirect are not really the focus of author conferences. And that has gotten better over the years, but we were certainly at conferences like as of 3 to 5 years ago where it was mostly focused on Amazon's exclusivity program, KDP Select, and KU, Kindle Unlimited. And so we were always kind of like in the tiny room or in like the back hallway or whatever, like giving our little talk, like trying to promote the wide and direct sales to like, I don't know, like 20 people who were excited about it. And so we thought, wouldn't it be cool to like have a conference where these edges of publishing are really at the forefront? And that was kind of how that was born. Russell hung out with Mel quite a bit at one of the conferences that we were sponsors at and was like, hey, do you want to build an event for us? And she was like, sure. Like, let's chat. And then she was brought into our chaos. And that was kind of how it all happened. There's not really a question in there, but I wanted to share that. That's how the event got started, and we've loved working with the two of you. You guys are just like the best of the best in the industry, we feel. And we're super excited to do more with you. And I'm gonna let Russell pick up.
So, I will
We
say, like,
appreciate
what
that. Let me say that. We appreciate that.
well, when you started meeting with us about this conference, like, what was like your initial impression of what you expected, and like, did that, like, how did you actually follow through? Like, did the original vision that we said, that you think that we set out, like, match the thing, and like, what was that? And say words, because we clearly should not be saying any more words.
Just in case anyone's wondering, this is how most of our calls go, by the way. It's chaos that results in, how do you say it, Russell? Like
But
two
it's
hamsters in a trench
yeah,
coat or something?
yes, I do say that. Well, what's great is like we I then get like an outline like 2 or 3 days later, and I'm
Yeah.
like, oh my God, we actually did stuff. It wasn't just like
Yes.
us rambling for
Yes.
like an hour and a half.
True.
Well,
Yeah.
and I think one of the things that's been really fun about working with an event from the ground up is A, Tondra and I getting to have some input in, like what would best serve the audience and how do we create that atmosphere that you guys were after. I think right from the beginning, you had a pretty clear idea of the feeling you wanted people to have. You wanted it to be people on the forefront of publishing, people who care about staying ahead of the curve and about making choices and sort of directing where publishing is going. And that's going to attract a certain kind of audience right from the get-go. But you had that vision right at the beginning. It was just a matter of like, well, what pieces of the event are gonna create that atmosphere, are gonna execute that vision. So I think that was a fun part for us is I've told Todd before, you guys have like no limit on your imagination, which is fun to watch. And then also it's like, okay, right, but also this year, maybe we just start like a little smaller. Like, what'd be the step before that?
Well, we were working not only we were working within with two people who were new to us at the time, and we knew you, but we had not worked with you in this capacity. We were working with a whole different event paradigm in mind, and we were working with a new event space. So we had variables that we were juggling, I had experience with that event space, but not for this event. And so it was juggling some glass balls, and we're excited that we're going to be in the same space for next year with the same planning idea.
It's
And
always
he said, "Hey, we'll add something else just to make it fun." Which is, hey, we're.
fun when you it's always fun when you get to return to a space because then you do get to add more fun things. So we were at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside, which was a gorgeous hotel. I'd never been there. I'd been to New Orleans once before. So I had a vague idea of the hotel location and everything, but the room that they put us in for all of our meals had this gorgeous view of the Mississippi River. And I grew up in Missouri, so like seeing the Mississippi River was like a very common experience. And at no point, and Monica can maybe agree or disagree with me,
Yeah,
at
I
no
live like
point are you
5 minutes
ever
from
like, right, you're not
it.
standing at the foot of the arch and you're like, what a gorgeous river. You're like,
No,
whoa,
it's
that's nasty.
muddy. Yeah.
And then they also tell you, like, don't get near it. They'll suck you in. They'll suck you in and kill you. But for some reason, when you're in New Orleans, it's beautiful. And you have these cruise ships going up and down and watching the ferry. And it's just, it really added so much to the atmosphere that we were trying to create, where it was both, let's have all these like high level conversations and brainstorming. And I watched so many people make partnerships. You know, like I feel like I walked in on so many of Russell's meetings where he's like, and then we could do this. So I walked in on so many, like listening to so many fun partnerships develop. But then we also had like that more relaxed atmosphere, like we're not in a rush. You have time to develop your idea. You have space. You can go to the bar afterwards. You can, if you're like Mel, like, what do you mean? What do you do after we're done? I'm gonna go put on my pajamas and hide in my bed for the rest of the day. Like that's Is that not what everybody does?
It's not true. We ate out. We
We
ate at
ate.
amazing places every single night.
Yeah, which was another great thing about New Orleans.
And in the hotel, there's a Drago's, which is like the home of charbroiled oysters. Then, like next door, in the you can which you can get to through the mall entrance, like in the hotel, there's a Café du Monde for beignets. Although I have to say, like I'm a Café Beignet convert, like above like Café Du Monde. I'm sorry, like it's I had them like the day after we left, and I was like, oh, these are a little crispier. But
Because you didn't go to the real Cafe du Monde, that's all I'm you
gonna
gotta go in
say.
the French Quarter.
Yeah,
you have to go to the place that's been there since 1863.
yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm willing to be. I
We're
walked
going
past there
back.
like ten
It's a
times.
nice walk. Yeah,
Yeah, it's a great
beautiful. Like
walk.
15 minute walk over. Yeah, not
And
too bad. Next to a river, beautiful river, as Mel has noted. There's music, there's entertainment.
Because like
There's
you
little ladies asking you if you want a massage every 5 feet.
Cool. And like
That
you
was
do
new for
walk all
me.
the way there, right? That you walk to the actual Cafe Du Monde that's
Yeah.
been there every morning. Like,
Well, yeah,
well,
I
I
mean, during the
didn't most
conference,
people.
I, because we had breakfast. We
Right.
had breakfast every day except for the first day. So. The food at this hotel, by the way, so good. And I have
Nice.
such high standards for hotel food because the hotel that we've been at for the Novelist Inc. conference for like 10 years, I love their food. And Monica, I think you've mentioned this before too. Like, we all wait for like Mexican buffet day.
Yes,
We're like,
we do. I'm
somebody
like, man,
churro me. It's
if they
so
ever
good.
cut that, I would
Oh,
cry. I think
that's okay.
everybody would cry.
They have already told us that everybody would cry. So I have super high standards for food. So this hotel, like, I already had a high bar set. But
Yeah.
like the steak that we had in one day, it was
Oh my
like
God,
char grilled. It was
so
incredible. Like everything we had was so good.
it
I was
was
going
good.
back for like seconds and thirds of the desserts or letting other people go. Like, oh, are you good? I will also take another mousse if you want to bring one back for
Well,
me.
I
And
mean, I
so,
think there was only one food thing that we would not repeat.
yes.
Russell's.
It was turkey bacon.
Yeah, then we're not gonna have the turkey bacon next year.
No.
I get
Oh
it.
my
Like,
gosh.
and we had that twice, I think. And I'm like, oh,
Yeah, they
it's
did.
but like they were really good. They had so many like dietary things. Like, I've never seen a hotel like even Nink like have so many options. Like, it was like three options of like gluten-free thing. Like,
Yeah.
there was like a starter and like usually you get like one. Maybe, but like then they had like a dessert that was also like gluten
Always.
free or like sea, like whatever our restrictions were, like they had multiple options,
Yeah.
which was like
Natasha commented with that the food rhymed with Aiken if we weren't used
yes.
to it.
Like, it was more like turkey. What are the things that you used to put on like the fruit by the foot kind of like things
Oh,
that like
yes, like fruit butter.
Yeah,
It
it was
did.
kind of like that.
It
It
did look
was
like fruit by the foot.
light. Yeah, I just
It's like
realized
when
that
you
you're.
roll it out and like smash it and
Yeah. Everything else though,
oh.
so good. Like, and like so much of it. Like so many options. Usually there's like two entrees. There was like three or five things every time. Like, I found like I
It
can
was
usually be like, I'm just gonna have a little of everything.
yeah.
But like I did have a little of everything. And like it was like two plates worth of stuff this time because it was so much.
It was
And
nice.
coffee was good.
Coffee was good. Coffee was
Yeah.
very good.
I
See,
took
then coffee was good.
it
Yeah.
was the only thing that I said to Mel, like when I was like the co like when we met at that conference, like the coffee was not good. And I was like, so when we started doing this show, it's like the only thing I care about is the coffee is good. And it was good. It wasn't the greatest coffee I've had in my life, but like it was good. It
Yeah.
was, yeah.
I agree.
Well, the nice thing about you guys having gone to so many events is you'd set a lot of preferences of what you liked and what you didn't like in events. And that's always super helpful. Just like back in the day, I used to go to so many events as well. Believe it or not, I'd still schedule like 2 hours in the middle of the day where I wouldn't schedule any meetings or attend any workshops, and I go hide in my room to recharge. But I went to a lot of RWA conferences, and I went to a lot of regional events. And the nice thing about going to a bunch of things is then you're like, well, I like this, I didn't like this, I like this, I didn't like this. And one of the things we set with the schedule purposefully was we didn't set a mastermind schedule that went from, like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or later, because we wanted people to have time for organic networking.
Yeah.
It was really important to us. I think I'd love to, I would love to talk about like the structure because it's the biggest difference, I think, to any other. In fact, like the fact that we're doing a conference next time, I'm just like, oh, I know how to do that. Like, I don't like to me, that was the hardest like hang up of like, I know how to program a schedule for like 6 hours a day, but like I was so worried about the breakthrough sessions. Like the minute like I was like tense until I saw them work for the first moment. And
I
like I think even now it's hard for me to like explain. So I'm gonna make one of the two of you do it. What a breakthrough session and how it's different.
I think there were, yeah, I think that there were two things that really stood out with this mastermind as being unique and different. One were the hot seats that our speakers offered, which gave people real time application. You know, my thing with any event is that there have to be actionable items. It's great to hear about somebody telling about their experience, like you were both talking about, you know, hearing an author say, well, you know, this is what I did. This is how I got on the USA Today list, or this is how I became an Amazon or Apple or whatever bestseller. But it's how do you replicate that? How do you take that experience and replicate it in your own very unique situation? It's really hard. So I love the fact that we gave people actionable items, and we our hot seats were, I thought, really valuable. And then the breakthroughs, I was the same way. I was like, okay, let's see how this is going to work. Let's see how this is going to work. And then that first day, we couldn't get people to leave. We're like, it's lunchtime. The food is there. It's there. Move into the other room. We're like, well, I guess we're going to
Yeah.
eat and they'll
Like
come
20
find us.
minutes. Like
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
a long time. So I feel like we
People
got it.
were, yeah.
And
Well, oh, go ahead.
I was
I
gonna
was.
say, just to add to that, so the way we did the hot seats was we had an expert presenter, and then we went to attendees in advance and said, would you like to volunteer? This presenter is going to assess your Kickstarter, your direct sales store, your whatever. Facebook ads in front of everyone, and they're going to give you advice on exactly what they would change, exactly what they would do. We did add some disclaimers for everybody. Like, no one's going to tell you that everything you've done is the worst and you should just quit. Like, this is not that kind of an event. But I think that's one of the things we got some of the best feedback about from others is, like Todra said, it wasn't just an expert saying, this is what I did. It was then them showing how to connect the dots between, you know, like Susie McAuthorpants's career, like how, what should Susie do with her Kickstarter? What tweaks should she make?
Right.
So that was really good feedback we got on the hot seat. And then with the breakthroughs, that was like small group brainstorming with structure. So we gave everybody a topic and we said, what are you struggling with the most right now that you want to brainstorm solutions for? And we limited the tables to six people at a round table, and we kind of kept time. So like for 10 minutes, Todra's in the hot seat. And then for 10 minutes, Mel's in the hot seat. And then for 10 minutes, it's Monica's turn to brainstorm and have people go around the table. And we got some really, to me, it was surprising, but great feedback about that, because some of the sponsors, a lot of the sponsors and vendors sat at the tables as well. And a lot of the attendees said they really enjoyed helping, you know, like Julie from Barnes and Noble brainstorm something, you know,
Right.
and I didn't eavesdrop on all the conversations. So, and nobody was tattling on anybody else. So, you know, so they were good small group brainstorming. And like Todra and Russell said, like people were having such a great time that they didn't want to get up and go to lunch. And we're like, but you can sit with each other at lunch too. But like we paid for lunch, so please go eat it.
Yeah,
Natasha says those were great. Yeah.
I think the authors not only enjoyed helping the vendors with their hot seats, but they vendors came at helping authors from a very unique perspective too. You know, so if, like, we'll pick on poor Julie again and say that if she was at a table where somebody said, "I'm really struggling with ABC with my books," Julie could say, "Well, you know, I can tell you at Barnes and Noble we offer blah 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 blah." And I don't know that she did that. I'm just saying that that was an example. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that she was touting her
Well,
own stuff or
it
anything.
you could watch people's like facial expression change. I know this is when Russell relaxed, is after like we had chimes, and so after we, you know, like ding the chimes the first time, like people, like their facial expression just started lighten up, like their body language changed, they started laughing. You could just literally see the mood change in the room.
It's true.
Yeah.
True.
Someone has a question that they're raising their hand for, so I'm gonna try this feature to like let them allow them to talk. Like, I'm gonna see what they say. Hi, Joan. Do you have a question, or did you just accidentally raise your hand?
Joan is still muted, so if Joan does
Oh,
have a question, Joan won't be able to speak.
I'm gonna ask to unmute. We're gonna see how it goes. I don't know. Oh, I'm gonna say that they just
Probably just an
did it by accident.
accident. Did you do
Natasha says more chimes. I assume that's like more cowbell, right? Right, Natasha?
know how
Also,
in classrooms that they would say, "Or do you have a question, or were you just stretching, or something like that?"
it's
Okay.
like, oh, I'm
Yeah.
just stretching.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Someone did actually have a question about the virtual. So, do we want to talk about that here?
Sure.
We
I
all good with
mean, let's
that?
do it. Like, if we have questions, let's answer all of them.
So, yes. So we had the in-person event. It was a mastermind. We believe that the mastermind piece of it is like so many different things. The hot seats, the breakthrough sessions, we did round tables. Not sure if we're like,
One-on-one meetings.
yeah, we did one-on-one meetings. We did so many different things. Panels, even like Russell and I spoke, sort of. We certainly had our thoughts, at least.
Well, and also they got access to all of our courses as well. Mastermind attendees get access to everything basically that we have available. I don't know if it's literally everything, but it's like a whole lot of everything.
Yes. And so we've been coming to the part of the, I guess the, I don't know, the event sequence
The events.
where we do a virtual afterwards. And so the virtual is May 22nd through May 24th. It's going to be focused primarily on workshops, which is really different from what we did at the actual mastermind. So to us, mastermind means it to me, it really means like connecting with other people, and being able to take content and apply it to your own business. Like it's a chance for you to be the CEO of your business, versus like a conference, which is more like it's programmed for you. You still are kind of being the CEO of your business, but you're there's not it's really more of like a megaphone than it is a like community. And I know, like, for myself too, like, I go to masterminds for networking, not for program, not for like the talks. So there were talks at our mastermind. There were five of them. We didn't focus heavily on the talks. The talks were awesome. They were also paired with like the hot seats and some of these other kind of more interactive elements to bring it all together as a mastermind. And so as we do the virtual, we've kind of had some questions about it, just like, is it like a replica of what happened at Future Publishing Mastermind? And the truth is that it's not. Like, we would love, you know, it'd be amazing if we could do that virtually, but the virtual is, we probably should rename it, to be honest, because the name is kind of a leftover from what we were doing, but it really is going to be workshops. So it's going to be presentations. It's s some of the same presentations. It's also many other presentations from people who were there who are able to maybe offer their perspective on how their company fits in with the future of publishing or, you know, and then there are people who didn't even come to the, who weren't able to come to the event, who are also doing presentations too. So we do want to like just distinguish that it's kind of in so many ways like its own like a very different event. Virtual I think is cool because it's become kind of an industry standard really. Like it's just after you know after an event it is nice to have that virtual element or a virtual element to kind of coalesce on like what happened at the event. But I think it's going to be really different. And I think, you know, we can also talk about the mastermind versus our new event, Writer MBA Con, where I think that even those two, even though those are both going to be in person, they're also very different events. And so, Russell, do you want to chat? Do you want to do that or do you want me to keep going?
I mean, I well, yeah, I mean, I think you're right about the virtual for sure. I mean, the virtual is the thing that I think, like, it's how we provide value to people who were not able to join us in person. I mean, I think that, like, you can say whatever you want about Monica and me. Don't say anything except amazing things about the other two, but, like, I know, like, we're a lot, for instance, like I get it, but like we give back as much as any other human being in this community. And so, like, for instance, we decided to make this a free event. So like everyone could come to it and get some value from the vendors that we had so much value on, add value from, get their questions answered and like be seen. But like there's no doubt that the in-person mastermind is a million times more valuable than being in. And some conferences do charge roughly the same amount. But like to us, the value of the mastermind is in everyone joining together, also in getting access to all our courses, also getting fed, also having the ability and the permission to work on their business instead of in their business for multiple days. All of that stuff, like you have to, it's like the process of getting there and being there is like the value. That is why we didn't pack it end to end with like talks. That is why there were like long stretches. That's why we ended at like 4, so people could like take advantage of the networking time together. Like the virtual conference is a fire hose. It's like just you're going to be talked to for the time, and yes, there might be questions, but like we're not doing hot seats. Like you're not going to have an individual. Maybe you can schedule an individualized thing later because a lot of our people do have like one-on-one booking links, but like we're not going to be doing hot seats there. We're not going to be doing like round tables. We're not going to be doing breakthrough sessions. Like it is, and even like more than a in-person conference, I feel like a virtual is a fire hose because you're just like it starts at 10, it ends at 2, and like between those times, like don't go to the bathroom because like you might miss something. And like that's like almost the opposite experience as the mastermind. And like both are good experiences. I go to both. Like
I
I
know,
am
I do too.
like I value both, but I value them differently. And like they are just wholly from the ground up being curated. Like in very, very different ways. And so and it's like then kind of in the middle between like fire hose and like mastermind is like the in-person conference that we're going to do next year. Which does someone else want to explain how it's going to work altogether? Because now I feel like I
Sure.
just talked for 5 minutes. Maybe Mel or Todra or someone who
Well, why don't I say a couple things about it, and then
Sure.
so our so Writer MBA Con, what is it? Why is there a conference with the mastermind? We realized that we wanted to have the mastermind first, and people who are industry leaders and far along in their careers and people who are like they're meant to be at the mastermind. We wanted to give them an opportunity to then be able to do like if they had only if they had something like a course or a book or whatever or a company. We wanted to give them a chance to have a vendor day. We wanted to give them a chance to do a talk as well, because most of the mastermind attendees, like they would all be keynote speakers in a different room. But at this event, they are not the speakers. So they are the attendees, and so we wanted to give them a chance on the back end to like give their talk for both other mastermind attendees who wanted to see it, and we just didn't have enough room in 2 days to do it. But then also for the rest of the author world and the rest of the author community that is coming in person to the Writer MBA Con. And then we also, for the people who don't have any sort of thing, but they were attending the mastermind, we wanted them to be able to see those presentations as well. So at the mastermind, they would, get a sense of what. Of who they wanted to talk to, and if they didn't have enough time to talk to them, or if they were like, "Hey, you know what? I actually do want to know more about this. Let me just come to your presentation later this week." So we wanted to give the mastermind attendees even more value as well. And so it kind of serves like many different purposes, but like the goal of all of it, so the goal of Future Publishing Mastermind is really to set the vision for publishing, because I think if we don't set it as a community, other people may set it, other powers that be may set it for us. So, like, that's why we built that event. And then the goal of Writer MBA Con is really just to bring a diverse group of writers together. So I think there are going to be lots of authors there. I also think there will be people who don't even have a book yet, but they are making a lot of money at writing in newsletters or in coaching or in startups or in some other area that we don't even look at as authors. And so comics, like that's where Russell's from, and or crowdfunding, or just all these other areas. So again, like, Russell and I are very focused and always have been focused on pushing the boundaries, like going to the edges of what's possible for making money as writers. And like, we've both done this in our own careers. It's been really challenging, and like, we want to bring all that knowledge like back into a room together. There's so many other events in this industry that are focused on authors and are focused on like, how do you do well at a retailer? How do you do well at this? How do you do like a Shopify store or whatever? And like, we have that stuff too, but we also want to bring in kind of like these new technologies. That's very important to us, is to kind of have like all the wide and direct stuff, and then to just keep kind of pushing the edges of wide and direct and bringing that knowledge in and bringing like new people in as well. So that was a lot for me. If you guys want to add something, definitely
So
do
this
so.
really is how our calls go, because then usually Todd or I says, okay, so to recap, what it sounds like you're saying is, and then that's how we create that beautiful like call recap for Russell, where he's like, oh, look at all these things that we decided.
We have action items. Yes, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
action for, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, and then I see Todd has something to say, but I was gonna say, if you're an attendee, your experience would be, if you're a solopreneur or if you are an author who is already doing pretty well and you want to get in the room with the other people and brainstorm and have those kismet meetings that like I saw Russell and like so many different people have, and all these partnerships, and you're going to see these different things pop up from these people, and it's going to be like, oh, well, we met at Future of Publishing in 2024. Then what you want to do is you want to come to the mastermind. And when you come to the mastermind, then you also get to go to the conference. So what Monica is saying is, maybe you attend every part of the mastermind, which we purposefully build to allow you to do a lot of networking, to allow you to develop partnerships with people, to have those one-on-one meetings. Like we had Pierre Janty talk about direct sales this year. Jaunty, Janty. I'm pretty sure I just pronounced it the way he made fun of other people pronouncing it, but
Chanté.
Jaunty, Pierre
<Chante.
Jaunty. We had him come, and I know that he had multiple meetings with people who were looking at hiring him to set up their direct sales store, or looking at hiring him to, in a small group, teach them how to set up their Shopify store. So that's the kind of thing that we purposefully set up the mastermind, so that you're not quote unquote missing anything. We make sure there's no programming scheduled in large chunks of time, so you can have those meetings. It's small on purpose so that you can talk to anyone you want to talk to. But when you go to the mastermind, then you also get to go, you can stay for the next 4 days and go to the conference. You'll have a vendor day on the day in between the two, where everyone who was an industry guest or a sponsor will get to have a table. And think of it like a book signing, but like a reverse book signing. Like you get to go talk to the people from Kobo, Barnes and Noble. You get to talk to people who are just in our space teaching Facebook ads, or teaching how to use a planner, or teaching Kanban boards, or there's so many people in our industry teaching things, and they're good at teaching those things. This is our way of bringing them to you in a way that then, as an attendee of the mastermind or the conference, then you can go talk to all these people. And then conferences, oh, you can't ever go to everything with a conference. That's how the programming's set up. There's always, this conference is going to have at least two tracks of workshops. You can't see them all. And yeah, there will be a virtual later that you can catch some of the ones you missed. But that's what Monica's talking about, where you kind of cherry pick, like, Oh, well, I had this great conversation. I'm gonna out of my memory, like I could have prepared better. But I'm gonna out of my memory, like note people who already said we can share that they're attending next year. So you like you have a great conversation with Sarah Cannon and at the mastermind, and maybe Sarah's got a workshop at the conference. This is hypothetical. There's no program out there yet. Like, don't write this down. But then maybe Sarah has a workshop later and you're like, you know what? I really enjoyed talking to Sarah about how she uses Kanban boards to get so much done. Maybe I want to go to her workshop at the conference. And you kind of cherry pick the conference, much like Mel used to cherry pick when she went to RWA and there were 1,000 million workshops. And I could only go to so many before I got too tired. But you know, for you, it might be that you're having like meetings or drinks or, you know, doing other fun things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't go to many talks at these conferences unless I am part of the unless I am required to speak at that particular event. So, like, to me, I feel like you said something about, like, I've been thinking a lot about planned serendipity, which is like getting a bunch of cool things, like do a bunch of cool actions and then like something good will happen, but you can plan like the event, but you can't plan the what's going to happen from it. So like I've been thinking about this podcast that I wanted to do for like 2 years, like as I'm trying to launch, because like for those that don't know, I have like almost none of these books are on retailers, and like it's a shame of mine, but like I finally got everything set, like I've done the launches for them, like they're ready to go to retailers, and like they just got ready to go to retailers like 2 months ago. Like finally all the covers were ready, like the things were formatted, like I had everything up, and I was like, okay, I want to do this podcast where like I just launch this series on retailers, like on a podcast, and like it maybe it fails, maybe it succeeds, I don't know. And I was looking for a partner to do it with. And like I met Lee, who was like one of our speakers, and like we just like serendipitously met, talked outside of a thing, and she's like, it was like the last day or like the day before she had to leave, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, like I have this idea for this called the six-figure author experiment." She's like, "I love it. I want to do it. I had the same idea. I was gonna burn one of my own series to the ground to do it." And so like this is great, and it's like that probably never would have happened at a most conferences, because like first she'd be mobbed like by people if she like just
He's talking about Lee
Lee Savino,
Savino.
the like seven
She's
figure
a step
romance
bigger
author,
author. Yeah.
so like would probably be mobbed by people, and like you wouldn't have the ability to have, and plus then everyone's running back and forth, like Monica and I rarely see each other at like a lot of shows unless like we're in between events, because like one of us at some shows, one of us will be talking like almost every slot, and like, or we'll have a meeting every slot. So like not so like our idea with the mastermind is like, hey, plan for serendipity, but like it's kind of hard to like be like, but like what does that mean programming wise? And you're like, I don't know. Like it means like there's gonna good things will happen. Give us money now. And like but like
No, that's not how we plan it. Don't listen to anything that Russell's saying.
But so like a conference is also a lot easier to conceptualize, right? Like it's like, okay, like a mastermind is for a certain, like maybe you just want to come to New Orleans and like hang out with us and like see if you like the experience before you do the math. Like there's also like that ability as well. 'Cause last year what we found is like a lot of people were like, I love New Orleans. I love you. Sounds great. Make it $500. And so like this conference is a lot of way to like welcome a lot more authors in that way as well, where like you can get an amazing experience, because like we can like for sure like we're gonna plan an amazing conference. Like I didn't understand like really whether the mastermind would work until I saw it, but like there's zero doubt that that like the first minute we talked about a conference, I was like, oh, we're gonna nail this, because like we already know all the people, we already know what we want, like we can do a conference, we can plan a thing, and like I know now the mastermind is gonna be great. So like I know now what the experience is go the full experience is going to be. But like, and I always tell people, I'm like, I know what's on the other side of it. Like, I know what's on the other side of you coming to this conference. Like, you don't know what's on the other side of it. Like, and I don't expect you to necessarily know. Like, I can tell you from experience, both doing masterminds and doing conferences, that like, at the end of it, you will be changed for the better. And like, you will find something at this conference that does that, like, revolutionizes what you do. What that thing is like often a nebulous mystery. And often, this is probably the first conference I've ever done where the thing I set out to do is the thing that happened at the end. And I was like, oh, I accomplished my major goal. That's great. Like, I never accomplished my major goal. I always like accomplished this side goal, this side quest over here, which like I didn't realize was now the main quest.
Yeah,
And
I
I
think
think that's a really good way of explaining it. Like, for years when I was an author assistant, my husband and I would pony up what was a lot of money for us, for me to go to all these events. And I picked up so many clients from them, and I picked up conferences later, that I started planning, and it's from those moments of serendipity. And when I said that you should not listen to Russell, what I was going to say was that we plan for that by giving you lots of opportunities to talk to each other in a controlled, like, structured environment, so that you already feel comfortable with people later if you are not already an extrovert.
right. And the space and talk about serendipity. We talked to the hotel and we set up the space, but we didn't really know what it was going to look like until in person, until we got there, because the Hilton New Orleans Riverside is a huge complex with lots of conference space. And they have, huge, huge, huge events that go on there. Ours was tucked in this adorable little corner where we did not have to be, walking 15 minutes to get from one space to the other, which really did open up a lot of time for people to. There was a little seating area outside the workshop room. People would wander out there. A lot of conversations happened there, and I think that that was really, I think that was really helpful. And I was going to say about the Writer MBA conference, something that Russell and Monica both said early on is that we are in this space, and probably most of the people who are listening to this are also in the space too, where we know the things. We know how to publish a book. We know, what to do when A happens or B happens, because we've been in this industry for a while. But there are people who are writing, and I think Russell was saying specifically people who are on Substack who don't really know that there are opportunities out there for them to take their multiple words and make them a book, because they just don't, they don't know it. I'm always astonished when I start talking about publishing and people are looking at me like, you're saying words, but I do not know what they mean. And so with Writer MBA, we're going to have the opportunity to take people who have the words, who have written in maybe a different area, different arena, and show them this wonderful world that's out there that they can get involved in too. And I'm super excited about that. So.
Well, and on top of that, like, the people that are writing on Substack, like, have an entirely different skill set to you. Like, I
This.
cannot believe how much many things that I, a publishing expert who've been doing this for close to 15 years, because I started in 2010, like, has learned from Substack and like from like Michael Evans and like at like about like subscriptions and about like publishing schedules and about like engagement in different like just like all, everyone has this little bit. And I think that like when we are like, I know publishing, like you're like, well, you know indie book publishing, but like, do you know like how to like do X, Y, and Z, or how to like make a comic book? Because like, I literally just did a comic book with someone who hasn't done one yet. And it like the amount of things that she didn't know was like, I was like that I could speak to fluently because I did it was like, not no shade on her, just like, why would you know how to do a Kickstarter if you've never done it? It's like a whole nother skill set. But like, people are doing it and like doubling their revenue. Like people that are doing Kickstarter now who didn't do it before, like taking what they made now and like just doubling it because they learned the skills that like comic book people know. And like the more, so it's like you might feel capped out, like, but like if you figure out these different modalities, if you like aquatic yourself up, like you start being like, oh, I'm only capped out at like the small sliver of publishing that like this people. These people like talk about, but there's really all of this stuff out here who could like 100x my business because it's just a small piece of it.
And it's funny that you, so I've heard Russell say this like 100 times, which is great. And it really, like, I think the reason why we believe in this so much, this cross-pollination of people and ideas, and like this is what we're kind of, it's kind of a hill that we're dying on with this event in so many ways, because we're like, we want to bring all these different areas of publishing together and get them to talk to each other. And I think the biggest reason is because, like, that's what Russell and I have done. Like, when we started working together, it's like he taught me so much about comics. I taught him so much about publishing. Like we just saw, like, and we said this 100 times to our audience. We saw 2 + 2 = 8 with our partnership. It has grown both of us so exponentially. And like, I know, like, both of us really have seen that happen with this conference. Like, working with Mel and Tadra, we've just seen, like, I mean, this, co like, the, com like, literally, the conference would not have happened without them. Like, Russell and I could not have put on a conference. Like, people have asked us, like, oh, but like, you would have just planned it, right? And I'm like, no, like, there's absolutely no way we could have done, like, almost anything that these two women right here have done. And so it just, like, we've just seen, like, this concept of, like, bringing people together, really exponentially grow a person's publishing business. It's happened to us like multiple times now, and Russell's like d doing a bunch of partnerships with other people in the next year, and like we expect to see like huge growth from that. And it just, I just think that that's really at the found at the core of what we're trying to do. And I know, like, people have asked us, like, what's different about this, or like, how, like, why is it so, why not this other conference or this or this or this in the author industry? And to me, that's like the reason that we have built it this way, is because we think that a lot of the opportunities are at the edges of the industry. We think that, like, a lot of other conferences put a lot of amazing authors in the room together and can help authors teach other authors what authors know. And that is amazing. And we go to all those events, but we think this event is like, we are here to help you find what authors do not know, and like how you can like add that piece to your business, and now you make like much more money. And so that is really at the core of what we are trying to build with our events.
Yeah, on top of that, I just want to say also that like sometimes you are completely at zero because like you can't get the publishing thing to work in the way that it's taught. And sometimes it's not about growing the business. It's like, oh, I talk about this all the time about like I did a launch on 2019 on the series, the Gods vs. Chronicles series in a different way. And like it was so bad that like it was like probably the worst mental place I've been in like the last decade. And then I took those books to Kickstarter and like they made 10 grand and like literally made my fiction career start. So like oftentimes it's not about like, because you might be thinking like, well, I don't even have a writing career yet. Like I don't even have anything. Like I can't even get my thing to like work. But like really, it's also like, I don't know, maybe like you'll suddenly blow up on Substack or like maybe like, you'll like be like, what if I made an event like over here? Like, whatever the thing is, like, it could not just improve your career, it could literally like give you a
Launch,
career. And I
yeah.
know that's true because, like, it gave me a career.
Yes. Yes, I 100% agree with that. There's a question. Can you talk about who would be a good candidate for the mastermind?
Well, Monica and I do the application, so I guess it's good.
We
So
talk about what we look for.
yes, so we look for somebody that either has success in publishing already, and we ask like 4-figure, 5-figure, 6-figure, 7-figure author. Like we ask that in the thing. So like it doesn't have to be like a 7-figure person. It's like you either have success of some type that you've been able to replicate, or you are doing something very interesting in your non-author life that like could be in value add. So like we let a couple of people in last year who like one I think was like a forensic accountant or something, and like one was like so like they just had one was a like when I did like PR for like a large firm, and I was like, and so and like they are like so they're doing something interesting that can be additive. I think one of the things that we saw this year from some people was like, oh well, like I didn't know all the people, like they were not like all 7-figure authors. And my response is like, well, did you ask them like what they did? Because like they are probably making 6 figures doing something very interesting that we think could like bring that they could bring in there. And I think having both is really important because there are blind spots that the four of us have that we just like, you know, Monica worked in corporate marketing. Like I've done a lot of all of us have done like so many things, but like we haven't done everything. Like I'm not an oceanologist in like Fiji. Like maybe someone like that could bring in, I don't know, but like something that has a lot of, I've never like built a retail storefront. I don't think any of us have built a retail, like an actual like brick and mortar storefront, which is a thing that like a lot of authors do. And like a lot of, so, and like a lot of authors like that don't have a lot of success, like have built a brick and mortar store or like something else that they have done that's really interesting. So I would say one of those two things, or maybe both of those things, especially if you have different modalities that are like I like have a really stellar Substack, or like I do reading events, or like I host Readers Take Denver. I'm like the founder of Readers Take Denver, or like I don't know, like these are just like some kinds of things where like I don't know who the founder from Readers Take Denver may or may not already be a successful author, but if they were not a successful author, like they would still qualify to come to this event even if they didn't make a like ever like write a book before, because like they have a piece of knowledge that like is additive. And really most people have a piece of knowledge that is additive. Like there's probably not another person that is going to be exactly like you at the mastermind, and like that's intentional. Like it is intentional that like we are bringing people in who do not necessarily fit with what you would be like, these are all 7-figure authors, because like all of the 7-figure authors know the things the 7-figure authors know, like and like
And they all know each other,
right. And
like
so it was our intention to really bring in people that you could say, my problem is like I don't do this. And someone is like, I have a really interesting like edge case that I've done X. Or what we said in the talk was, what we said in our talk, one of the talks was like, you have a lock. Somebody in this room has a key. I don't know who has that key. I don't know what that key necessarily is, but we designed the event in a way that like nobody has the same key. Everyone has a slightly different key to a slightly different lock. Maybe it can be unlocked by someone in your genre or like in publishing. Maybe it's like a vendor that you didn't know. We had Michael Evans, who we had in a panel. I asked him about like why can you like do codes for Kickstarter? And he's like, oh yeah, like we could do that. And like those kind of like, I don't know, like that unlocked something for one of our attendees, 'cause they went in and like that night was like,
Did
oh,
a
I
code,
changed my,
yeah.
I added it, and like I got people to like subscribe. So like I don't know what the thing is. Like
Can I just say something about that? That particular example. I mean, it came about because Russell asked Michael. It also came about because Michael Evans, who is the founder of Ream, if you don't know him, was sitting next to Oriana Lykert, who is the head of publishing at Kickstarter. And they were like, yes, like we can work together, which is a great direct sales thing to have. And then, like, afterwards, I kind of like messaged Michael and I was like, hey, like, what can you like lay out the policy for this? And he actually wrote up a whole thing about their policy on using co coupon codes for Kickstarter. He posted it in the group. They put together like a more formal policy for Ream on their website. And so it's like that thing, I'm not saying that thing would not have happened if it weren't for our event, but that thing did happen because of our event. Like the event triggered it, and Russell's question, very simple question, triggered it. And we were able to create something for authors in the industry that is new. And that is like, hey, these two direct sales channels can work together for you in your author business. And then somebody at the event started making money from that immediately, like within 24 hours. And I saw because I had actually backed their campaign. So I was like, they literally sent it out afterwards. And that, to me, that is like the planned serendipity of what Russell's talking about. That's why it's really important for us to have companies there, especially well-known companies in this industry, because not only do we want to give them our feedback of like how you can help us as authors or as writers, like how can you help us make more money, but also like they're able to contribute as well. And they have, like presumably they have a lot of they have a lot of audience. Like they have access to a lot of authors. They have a lot of data, almost always. Like all the retailers have tons of data every single time I talk to them. They also just have a lot of power at these huge companies, that can really support the future of publishing. And so that to me is like what we are trying to create with the event and why there are so many companies in that room too, so that we can kind of forward our author agenda, I guess, and figure out together like how can we all make more money and like grow publishing as like a whole. And I know that's a very big vision. It's one that most authors don't care about or think about. They're not like, hey, like how can we make indie publishing much bigger? Like I'm like former startup person, so I'm like, hey, like this is how I think about this problem, and Russell as well.
Yes.
And I just to backtrack to one thing that's in the comments, someone made a note about wanting to apply but having imposter syndrome. And Tondra may want to address this as well, because I know this is something we addressed a lot at the in person. But having worked with authors for 15 years, I've worked with some, this is not a brag, and I'm not gonna drop any names because then what I'm gonna say next wouldn't be good. But I've worked with very, 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 very famous and very successful people that have imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome does not correlate to how successful you are, or how much you do or don't belong in the room. Monica and Russell gave really good examples of the serendipity of, like Kickstarter and Ream being together. Like Russell says, you have a lock, somebody else in the room has a key. This goes so much more broadly than just in publishing. Like one thing that I don't think we address as much in our little industry, but that we were able to have moments of in the in-person mastermind, is a lot of people are parents. A lot of people are juggling their publishing career or juggling, whatever elements of writing they're doing, along with taking care of their family, taking care of their kids, taking care of their grandkids, having all these other elements of life. Maybe there are people who have like money mindset issues, and we have people in the room who have been working on that. It's just there's so many elements to being successful in publishing that are not just, okay, give me like what. I know I need to do A, B, and C, but who am I going to meet up that is, D, and that's going to spin me off in this other direction that's going to be very successful. There's also just a lot of real life and mindset there. So, like, you may be amazing at homeschooling, and like you have all your kids at home and you still run your publishing business. And that is something that is of value to other people. So don't think that you have to already be making seven figures to have, like, with selling books to be of value to people. I know that a lot of the conversations that I have are really more about, like, organizing. Now, granted, that's the kind of people that gravitate towards me because I'm like, let me tell you about my color-coded spreadsheet.
I told you how many people, like, I can't even remember how many people I met with. And I was like, last year we were doing meetings about who should come. And I was like, you are a six-figure author, like, you qualify. And they were like, but I'm not a seven-figure author. And I'm like, you qualify. And I'm like, I'm telling you, you will get in. Like, I am like I am one half of the barometer of like whether you get in. But like, so many people who are very successful in their applications said words like, I don't know if I qualify, and then check that box of like $100,000 to $300,000.
I agree with that. I mean, I will second kind of what Mel said, and it's not a negative thing, but like I agree, like it really doesn't matter how much money you are making in this industry, you can still feel like an imposter, and it comes down to like having to work through those feelings, really. Work through those feelings and come out on the other side with confidence. And absolutely, like we see a lot of the same thing, to be honest. Especially like when there's something new, like we were pushing Kickstarter for, and we still push Kickstarter. We love Kickstarter. But like we definitely saw people who, it's a new thing, and they could be very successful in one area. They did not feel confident in a new area. And I think all of that is like welcome there too. So like there are areas where like we're not confident. Russell and I are not confident. Mel and Tadra are not confident. But like we all, like Russell said, we all have a piece of that.
Yeah, I mean, I just to go back to the podcast thing. It's like I don't have anything to offer Lee Savino for publishing books. Like, I just don't. Like, there's nothing on the level. Like, I am not anywhere near Lee's level on like, but like, I would not even like. But like, she wanted to get into doing more nonfiction. Like, she wanted to do a podcast. Like, I had a good idea. Like, I already had done a podcast. We do a podcast. Like, I have a newsletter that has like 30,000 subscribers. Like, I have these pieces outside of like, oh, I don't do indie pub, and that's what I mean. I'm like, it's like, just what we own a conference. Like, there's just like so many bits that like, outside of the indie publishing space, that like was like a lock and a key. Like, the same thing happened with SK Prints when I was doing the comic. It was like, didn't know how to do a comic. Like, I knew how to do a comic. I had a list of all the people to hire. Like, I knew how to make the translation. I've done it before. Like, SK Prints is leaps and bounds more successful than me in fiction and also in nonfiction. But like, they had a lock of a thing they wanted to do. And like, so I would say it's very surprising. First, the level of people who deal with imposter syndrome, I don't deal with that, just so we're clear. Like, I don't. But like, I understand why people do. But it's really interesting how so many things that like have changed my life did not come from people who were successful in publishing, like who were successful like doing books. Like, it took looking outside to like where they were in a newsletter or like they organized a conference or like Todger has written over 100 books, and like, I don't think I've talked to her for like 10 minutes in our entire relationship about either of our book careers, because like, there were other moments that were on top. So anyway, it's like, I don't know if it's true, but like probably if you think you're supposed to be in that room, you're supposed to be in that room. And if you apply, like, we're going to do everything to get you there because like we want different voices. Like we want to amplify different things. Like we are all very different humans from each other, but those extra voices, like don't negate, they create like a harmony among each other that because they are so different.
And going back to the original question, I'm sorry, Monica.
No, you go.
Going back to the original question, I think the answer is just do it. Just apply. I mean, you're not going to lose anything by applying. We're not going to require a pint of blood or your DNA or anything. Just apply. And I think that as Russell said, if you feel like you belong in the room. And even if you don't feel like you belong in the room every hour of every day, you probably do belong in the room. And
Say if you want to, if you have the desire,
yeah, exactly.
that's important.
There
One of
was
my favorite, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, there's a really interesting thing that happened. Like one of our people, I won't like tell who, but like was like, I didn't know how it was gonna what it was gonna happen, but like I paid for the thing and like there was a whole year. Like they had a whole year to like make it work, and like they came and they were a completely stepped in that room as a different person than the person that bought the ticket. So like you can completely take, because you have access to all the courses as well, you can like you can spend the next year going through all our courses and you will be very different and a very different person when that conference comes around.
And I will call out a name and say Tanya Hales was one of the first people who I met, and she kind of with sat down at the table with me the first night at the welcome reception. She and she's like, oh, I don't know, I really haven't done this. And then she proceeded to show me this gorgeous book that she had drawn and done the Kickstarter, and I was blown away. I said, I'm the kind of person who my stick figures need explanation. I'm such a poor drawer, but it was just amazing. I was like, you most definitely belong here. Look at the talent. Look at what you've done. And it was just so cool to see her have a really positive experience. And I'm excited to see where
It's a
she is
very,
next year.
I know,
I
it's a
can't
very
wait.
uplifting atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's gonna, it's really interesting is like Mel just said, like the value in the mastermind is like the connections of the people. So like having people come back next year and like have access to like these resources, like what we're trying to do is make people come back. And like, I mean, I would be flat out on like we're doing, to me, we're doing this writer conference, this writer MBA conference, because like we want you to come to the mastermind. Like, and like we know that if you come to the conference, you'll see how great it is, and you probably will apply to the mastermind. And like, will everyone apply to the mastermind? No, we're gonna do a great conference as well, but like we know that like coming to the whole week is going to provide like the maximum value, because there's going to be people who were there last year. Like we've already sold like 30% of our spots to the mastermind. Like those people are going to be there again next year, and that doesn't even include like sponsors or anyone. Like they're going to be able to take that journey together over time. And like I've been part of masterminds for years, and it is wild like how many of those people I work with still to this day, how much success these people have had, and like how much we've been able to like all glean from that success to grow together.
Yes, the growing together is huge. I mean, like literally, I have friends in this industry who I've known for 10 years. We're coming up on our 10 year, and it's like so powerful. They're actually, I mean, they're just so well. So like one of them is well, I'll just say one of them is Claire Taylor, who I think a lot of authors know. But we kind of started at the same spot, and we were like, we actually like nobody knew who we were, and just to see like her career flourish, and really like all like one of my friends, she was a children's she. is a children's book author, and she started out, indie publishing, and she just got a book deal. Like, she just got her a children's book deal, and it's coming out next year. And like, there's just so much of that, I think, too. And we know, like, not everybody's going to come back year over year. Like, that's just how a conference is. But I do think that there will be like a crew that is established, and there already is, and like, people who are just really excited and able to journey with you on so many different things, wherever you're going.
And like the people, like I go to conferences for years as well, even not the mastermind, but like that I see over and over and over again. There's like just something about like being the right kind of like to travel to a conference and like to do it multiple years, and like that usually those people are going to not be serious because they're more serious. It's just like they just spent a lot of money to get there. So like, and it's a way, what we're hoping, especially for the mastermind, is just like when you walk in that door, you know you belong, and like everyone else knows everyone in that room belongs, and like it lets you like drop your shoulders, and it lets people interact with you in a way that they would probably not interact with you otherwise because they would be on guard. And so having that space, really, like if you asked me what the mastermind value is, like that value is incalculable. Like it is like, I don't know, like I've made 500 grand on Kickstarter alone. Like it's worth that much for sure, because like most of that came from connections I made at a conference or like working with somebody. So like, I just lost my train of thought. Someone else say something. This is probably enough. Oh, there's a question. Okay.
I feel like it's enough.
Two
No, go.
2-day mastermind with a welcome reception the night before, vendor day, 3-day conference. So it's basically a whole week of hanging out in New Orleans. If you come to the whole site, I mean, you can come and hang out in New Orleans before the conference, even if you don't come to the mastermind, I guess, but like not with us, but like there
Hey,
and do
I told you
stuff.
I'm going for Mardi Gras. I'm going for Super Bowl. Stay right
You're just
there.
gonna live there for
I'm
like
just gonna
3 months.
live there. That's what I'm thinking. And I think there is gonna be a nice, we've kind of planned a nice flow through the week, because while the welcome reception, as you said, 2 days of a mastermind, the vendor day is gonna be fun, but a little less. It's not gonna be as intense. You can go visit vendors, you can go grab some lunch somewhere, and then you come back and visit more vendors, and yeah, and then be ready for the conference the next day. So I think it's going to be a nice flow.
A lot of times you'll like make meetings with vendors at the vendor day, and then like you
True.
will be like, cool, I spent my hour here, now I'm gonna go on a tour.
Yeah.
And like I think what I learned number two this time was like I have to go on this Natchez tour, because like Mel loves this like steamboat in a way that I don't understand, but like I very much want to experience.
It's something.
It's definitely an experience, Russell. And
It
I don't know how I feel about you going on it, because I'm like, what is he gonna say? We built
Well, what
it
happened is like, so
up so
we're
much.
th
Wear sunblock, because I watched two
That's true.
attendees come into the first day, both like beet red, and they're like, I went on the Natchez yesterday and I didn't wear any sunblock.
So we were in the river room, which is like where we see the river for lunch, and like just like Mel goes, Natchez, and I'm like, what is a Natchez? I don't get it. And I'm like, it was like such a joyful childlike like exuberance that like I feel like somebody is gonna like some vendor's gonna plan a Natchez thing based upon just the fact that like it's hard for me to think of something that like adult humans like looking at inanimate objects like had more joy than like that moment.
That's just how I live my life, Russell. I'm also like, nachos. This is
Yes.
the best night ever.
So anything that starts with NACH, then I guess.
Yeah.
All right. I think we have said a lot of things. And oh, somebody asked, what is, do you want to answer that? What is the cost of the mastermind? Already signed up for the conference. So, for you specifically, we will have to send you a special link, I believe, because we've not done upgrade links yet. But yeah, definitely just put in your application, you know, think about it, or maybe you've decided, but put in your application and then we will sort that out on the back end. The only, I mean, so I feel like we're done, but I also just want to say, like, Writer MBA Con is going to be amazing. We've talked a lot about Future Publishing Mastermind. Writer MBA Con is also going to incorporate a lot of the author ecosystem stuff that we teach, and I think that aspect of it is really cool. We haven't really done a lot with that at our events yet, and I think it's going to be really exciting. So definitely come to, if you're not able to come to Future Publishing Mastermind, or you decide not to apply, that's fine, but definitely come to the Writer MBA Con. There's no application process for that, and I think there's going to be a lot of amazing talks there. It's definitely like a conference, not a mastermind, a conference, all the way to the core conference. And we're going to be doing, yeah, the author ecosystem stuff. And I think that, I don't know, I think there are a lot of unique things about that conference as well.
Yes, I have to talk about the author ecosystem stuff though for a second because I'm very excited about it. I didn't go to Writer MBA Con. It hasn't existed yet. So like I can remember how amazing like the right future of publishing is, but the idea of the conference is really, I've never been to a conference in the well since the pandemic where everyone didn't say they were overwhelmed at the end of it and like how to prioritize. Like probably one of the best talks I've ever seen at a conference was like the Sarah Cannon gave a talk at RAM a couple of years ago about prioritization. And like I've never seen people have that much of a reaction to like an event. So I would say that like the author ecosystem is going to be incorporated in a way that's going to allow you hopefully to prioritize because, and I just dropped the link before, the author ecosystem is like a couple of things. One, it's knowing your ecosystem. Two, it's knowing your stage of growth from one to five. And then three, it's knowing other people's ecosystems and whether they are going to the whether you can you're ready to glean something from them. So if you are, let's say, a stage three tundra, like you probably want to like embrace your tundra still. So you would look for something that's more tundry. Or you would be able to look at the thing and be like, well, here's how, or you might be like, I really want to go to this aquatic presentation. And so I have to embrace my inner aquatic here. Or like, and are you ready to embrace your inner aquatic? Or maybe you're not ready to embrace your inner aquatic. I generally find people either love embracing their inner desert or they abhor embracing their inner desert. So like, and it's the easily the most reactive to forest, like for the forest desert conundrum. So like you'll be able to hopefully better prioritize what you see, and then also like where you want to go next, because you'll be able to be like, this is something like Pierre did a talk, and we always thought he was a desert, but now we're pretty
Well,
sure he's an aquatic.
yeah,
Yeah.
I thought he was an aquatic, but you convinced me he was a desert, which he does have some desert traits, but okay.
Well,
Anyway,
right. So like
he's an
maybe
aquatic.
yes. So he's an aquatic and like the way that he talked about building his store like would make me exhausted, but would make SK Prince very non-exhausted because that is their like jam. Like and in the same way, like all of the talks will hopefully be coded with maybe not just one, maybe all of the people that could learn from it. Hopefully like the speaker will have like know what their ecosystem is, but like the system really, we just dropped the book. I dropped the book note again. The system is about knowing what your base ecosystem is, what stage you are in your growth journey, and then what other people are so you can mix, so you can match that for growth, embracing your inner ecosystems. And like, so that's kind of, I've never seen something like that happen at a conference before, but like, I'm very excited to see that.
And it's called the Writer MBA. Oh, it's called the Author Ecosystems book. You can download it for free. It's writermba.com/AE book. So go there. It's free for kind of indefinitely, I would say, at the moment. I would also add to that that it's a this is like a really good system to figure out who to partner with and who to hire. And so we've been doing that a lot. Like we know, for example, we need to partner with a lot of forests because forests and aquatics because they like to do lots of delivery and experiential stuff, and they like to kind of like tend to our audience. We like to go and build an audience. Well, I like to go and build an audience. Russell does too, and Russell likes to sell things to an audience, and I do too. And then we have a lot of help around like just nurturing our audience and tending to them because we want to do those things too. However, we're not necessarily the right type, but like that's not a natural way that we do sales and marketing. And so being able to hire and partner with people who do that very organically and who are really good at it, like actually really good at it, rather than us trying to get really good at it, has been extremely helpful for us. And I think that's
Yes.
it. Are we? I feel like we're done. I feel like
Yes.
we've exhausted the topic. So
And if you
do
go
you
to writermba.com/conference, you can see all the pricing. There's like four different general prices. One is you just want to attend the conference and hang out. Like that's one cost. And then cost two is I want to attend the conference and I want to be a vendor, which means you are approved to sell at the conference. You can sell from stage. You get a table at our vendor day. That is a few $100 more than the base price. But like, if you want to do things, as we said, with so like, if you're a solopreneur or like you're an author services provider, like, and you want to be in. What is the thing you said? Incongruence
integrity.
in integrity. Like
Yes,
you will get a
alignment.
yes,
Yeah.
you will get a different color badge. Like we will approve you. Like if you don't get approved, like we will make sure that we're only going to approve, like give those badges and things to approved humans. So you would like apply and then like you would not apply, you would buy your ticket and then like we would tell you yes or no. Like, I guess that's how it works. Then the next price is you just want to come to the mastermind and the conference. Everyone who does that gets a gets like all of our courses. The first year they get access to all the courses, well, most of the courses for the lifetime that we support them. Then they get then they get access to the mastermind and access to the conference. They do not get access to the vendor day. They can come to the vendor day, but they're not going to get a table. And then the fourth one is I want to come to the conference and I want to sell at the conference and like I want to like sell from stage at the conference. And then there are sponsorship packages as well. The sponsorship packages are usually for like companies, like people who
Agencies.
agencies, people who or people who want like even more like attention and like they that they want like to do some other thing like sponsor a meal or like sponsor a different meal, something like that. So there are four prices that will increase over time. So which is why I'm not telling you what the prices is because like who knows when you're listening to this, but like if you go to writermba.com/conference, you'll see basically a little thing about like what each thing is, and you can either buy or apply. And like we hope to see you there. We really think it's going to be cool. Like I cannot wait to put all this author ecosystem, Melantadra knowledge, what we've been doing for the past couple of years, like into practice, and hopefully like blow some people's minds.
So, Mel and Tadra, did you want to share any last words and like where people can find you as well?
You should come play with us in New Orleans for one
Definitely.
thing, because we're gonna have a great time. If we proved anything, it's that we can run a successful event because even Russell, who was in on the planning for the entire year, had his mind blown. when we got to New Orleans this year.
It's still blowing.
Todger, do you want to share your email for anybody who might be interested in sponsoring?
Yes, it's Tawdra, Tawdra at authorrx, sorry, .com.
There are two R's.
There are two
It's like
R's.
author prescription.
Yes, author, and
I
then
got it.
tawdra.com. So, yes, and if you're interested in sponsoring, please do reach out. I will probably be reaching out to you too. So.
Awesome. All right, everyone. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you guys for hanging out with us this week, this month, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks, guys.